Justin. Justin, good morning to you. I have a question for you first.
Okay.
Are you excited to one day spend your holidays in the Riviera in the Middle East, overseeing the beautiful beaches of Gaza while drinking your milkshake on a plastic straw at a luxurious Trump hotel? That's what I want to know.
I'd be lying if I said I'm planning on doing that. I went to Egypt. I was making some TV ads in Egypt at the pyramids, and I had such a bad experience.
Wow.
That I personally vowed, nah, that's it. I'm not going back to the Middle East. I'm done.
So, Justin, tell us what's happening, you know, particularly with Trump's plan to Gaza, but also, you know, there's a whole lot going on. It looks like it's one whole month of U.S. presidential news every week that we sit down to talk.
He's been in for 2 years, I think, now, hasn't he,
yeah. Donald Trump? It appears so.
He's cramming some stuff in. The plastic straws are probably the pinnacle of his decision so far.
Oh, but, you're pro plastic straw?
Oh, brother. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely am.
Are you pro plastic straw?
Man, I don't miss the plastic straw at all.
Are you pro plastic straw or anti paper straw? This is the real question.
Anti paper.
Yeah.
I'll go for a stainless steel. I don't care. As long as it's not paper. Like it is mush.
Yep.
It's mush halfway through.
This is the thing. I drink my drink so fast that they never mush on me. That's why I have never had an issue. But I understand if you're just chatting with your friends, you're taking it will disintegrate eventually.
It disintegrates. So, Trump's doing so much stuff. The U.S. aid or United States Agency of International Development, as basically they're pulling the sign off the wall. They've been spending $40 to $50 billion a year on stuff that is utterly absurd, but clearly buying influence through the CIA in different parts of the US government. That has been so exposed, and they're moving now over to the Pentagon. So that's the, you know, the military side of the spend and the waste. So lots of things going on here, and some of the stuff they've been spending money on is so out there. I think one of them was Sesame Street playing that in Gaza, or was it Egypt, and all sorts of...
Yeah, there's
Sesame Street is in Iraq, or Iran, one of those.
Oh, so one of them. There's so much stuff, and it's usually got to do with a real crazy social agenda, but clearly used to buy influence. That has been exposed, and basically from here on, I don't see it. Certainly not in the way it's been expressed in the past. But I think one of the most profound things, if we're looking where prophecy and politics are running into each other, we're just so much going on. But after the prayer breakfast that Donald Trump made some incredible statements about Christianity and its need to be put back in the center of U.S. government, was the Office of Faith, and Pastor Paula White being appointed to that office and then at the same time, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, has been commissioned to get rid of any anti-Christian bias and to prosecute any of that within the U.S. government.
Wow. So let's break down a little bit, because I think I recall that in his first administration, didn't he also have a faith office?
Yep, he had a lot of things in his first administration, but he's clearly not as organized as this one. Mm. He's achieved more probably in weeks than what he achieved in years on his agenda and what he's doing. And whether you agree or disagree with it, it's happening. And that they are openly stating that the separation of church and state is a false idea. It is not in the Constitution. and it is their role to reestablish faith at the center of their government.
Wow.
And I that makes me, of all the things going on, there's a lot going on. There'll be more going today. That one thing really gets my attention because of my understanding of Bible prophecy. And while there isn't in the Constitution a separation of church and state, the Fourth Amendment is very specific about no religious law. They're bumping up against that, and they're saying what they can do legislatively. We have never seen this so open and aggressive, but there's so much going on that you could be excused for even missing this. Because what do you focus on? And I think that's a part of Trump's plan here, is to overwhelm his opponents with just the amount of stuff that he's covering that they just don't know what to talk about, what to focus on. And as soon as they think they've got it, he does something new.
Yeah.
He does something new.
Absolutely. That certainly appears to be the strategy, and it appears to be working on his side. And I'm even wondering here if that that executive order that he signed, withdrawing the rights of babies who were born in America to become citizens, which is challenging one item of the Constitution, depending on how that gets to be interpreted by the Supreme Court after the appeals reach there, I think it's also going to give us a little bit of a tone in terms of how much the Fourth Amendment, the one that deals with religious freedom and the separation between church and state, how much the Supreme Court will give some leeway room. And I find it interesting, Justin, because in the U.S. Supreme Court, I think that the vast majority of Supreme Court justices are from a Catholic background. And in the Catholic doctrine, separation between church and state is a heresy. It's actually, they believe it's a biblical mandate to have the state subservient to the church's, spiritual authority. So it would be very interesting if that would also interfere with the ruling of the Supreme Court justices. What do you think?
Look, from the very inception, the Declaration of Independence, America has been super Christian, but they came, the pioneers, the history of Europe was one of bitter persecution over religion and faith. And so I think it's very fair and accurate to say from their very inception, America has attempted in theory to have a separation of church and state. They really have. But what you've pointed out, the Supreme Court doesn't always go Trump's way. They've shown that again and again, even though the justices of the majority are conservative. But if this does go this way, and the will of the people seems to be that way, the naivety that's come to people of faith now, the shallowness of their understanding of theology and why you would even separate church and state is what makes me so nervous, because I think the majority of Christians in America would be cheering on the fact that that wall would be knocked down and we'd put Jesus in the center of every decision we make. We say, yes, 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 he should be at the center, but to give people the freedom, as God's given me the freedom to make my own choices, is just so fundamental to what he was all about and therefore what we should be all about.
And it's very interesting that we are almost like coming in back full circle, because the first immigrants to the United States at the inception of them as a country were fleeing England, particularly out of religious persecution, because the Church of England were persecuting those who would disagree with their interpretations, with their methods. And now, so they fled to the United States where they could practice their faith according to their own conscience. And now we're looking at, 250 years later at a flirting and even applauding of using the state again to prioritize or to privilege one faith interpretation potentially over others. So we're not there yet, but we're clearly seeing some signs that this could be happening.
Yes, that's right. We're not there yet, but there's some very worrying things. And it's reactionary. They're reacting to the extremes of the left, and they're so disgusted by the direction they've been taking the country in that they're now putting it back. And I don't think that pendulum swings are a good way to govern. I think you should have your own values and your clear direction that's not necessarily a reaction to what others do.
Well said. And Justin, what about Doge? Have you been following, you know, so you mentioned about USAID, and are they going to fix the problem of the deficit that the United States is having? Are they going to be able to successfully cut the costs, or is that a task that is just, it's beyond the possibility of fixing?
I think it's beyond it, man. Like, the whole USAID is 40, 50 billion. We're talking a structural deficit of 2 trillion annually that the government goes 2 trillion. Now, 40 or 50 billion sounds like a lot of money to me, but if you line it up against 2 trillion, it's chump change. The interest on their debt now is 1.1 or 1.2 trillion a year, which is only looking worse. So everyone's holding their breath to get the lower interest rates for your home loan here. I'm telling you guys, inflation is our companion, is my interpretation. Mm. He ain't going anywhere. Yeah. And so I don't see, there's some radical things they could do that I'm probably not going to go into, but I can't see them getting out of this debt thing.
Yeah. I saw on the social media an U.S. representative, and he was testifying about the waste of public resources by the Pentagon, and he gave one example. He had a, I don't know if you know, if you've seen that one, Justin. He was holding a bag in his hand with a whole bunch of small, tiny metal balls. And apparently these metal balls are used for jet engines somehow. I do not know exactly how, but they are used there. But he says, look, this is manufactured very simple by any machinist can manufacture these balls. It costs you less than $100 to produce them. And yet the Pentagon has been buying those small bags, which had maybe, I don't know, 500 grams worth of these metal balls for $90,000 each.
Wow.
So imagine having to go through and look into every single purchase. I do not know what's going to happen there.
They're going to find waste that will blow your mind. But here's the reality, that the globe and what they're trying to buy Greenland, that is for the Americans' defense. They are entering in a place where they have to spend a whole lot more in the space of the military than they probably already do. So, yep, they can get rid of waste and make things more efficient, but it's not as if they're not under threat. So they've had to spend and go into debt in a time of relative calm. What will happen now when we face a crisis? So I don't think they can stop this debt. This is a train that's out of control.
Wow. Wow, that's some sobering thoughts there. Well, thanks, Justin, for bringing that up and for directing our attention to this faith office. Certainly something that we will keep an eye here as well on The Breakfast Show.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. I am Scaffy. I'm here in the studio with Lawson, with Producer Shell, and with Lindsay.
Hi.
Who's joining us for the first time today. So it's great to have you, Lindsay. We're talking about a whole bunch of things. We have been talking about mercy, what it means. We have been talking about paper straws. Now, I must confess that I have no idea that there was such an angst and an uproar, an animosity against paper straws. Like, I think I'm probably the only person on planet Earth who actually didn't mind them.
Dude, but you Shell
is telling me here that it's just like,
It's so many
incredibly insane.
Crazy
the
things.
Animosity against paper straws. You know what? I didn't know it was showing that you aren't on like Australian community Facebook pages. Because if you were on Australian community Facebook pages, you would see the complete. You would see like, I went to such and such cafe and they gave me this paper straw that I was supposed to drink a banana smoothie out of, and halfway through the paper straw fell apart. Like that's like. Dude, the hate is real.
And I'm a fast drinker. That's why I think I haven't been plagued with the plague.
You don't savor.
But Shell was telling me some concerning things about paper straws. So what's your beef with paper straws, producer Shell?
The glue, the coloring.
The glue. Oh, do they need a glue?
And yeah, because they're in that color. Spiral shape or like.
And the coloring. Yeah. So are they using just like. Toxic.
Yeah, it's colors. Like
I think that they're getting a little bit better with the glue thing, but those first ones that were coming out, those little party straws that had like the swirly colors that went down them. Man, yeah. Those things are bad for you.
Yeah, and like kids are like, you know, eating the glue and eating the coloring.
But surely this glue would be edible, right?
One of my grandchildren. I had a
friend that worked.
We had to get it out, and it was this big wad, and we're like, what is that? And we're like, oh, no, that's the straw. She had the whole straw in her mouth, and it was just.
That's disgusting. But look, I had a friend whose husband used to work at a production, like a food production factory. You know, I do not know exactly. He was like an engineer.
Yeah.
And he would go from factory to factory to fix the machines. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said is that everything needs to be edible. Even the oils that you use to lubricate the machinery, they need to be made of edible oils. Just in case, if something falls into the food, it's okay. It's not going to poison anyone.
Just because something's edible doesn't make it actually healthy or safe for you. Just because it's been passed through some certain requirements doesn't actually make it good for you.
That's interesting. I don't know if that's
it's
always
not
the case.
Toxic. I mean, you wouldn't be eating the school-type glue, right? That, like,
I
you
know,
white goo thing that
maybe
smells terrible.
Maybe.
Depends on what country they were coming from and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff. Like,
all right. Okay. You convinced me either stainless steel for me today.
Yeah. Or the silicon.
Or is the silicon all right?
The downside of the stainless steel ones is, man, you got to wash those things.
You got to wash. You know what? Let's ban straws for good. Let's just drink the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
You open that lid, you drink it with your mouth, and
just
problem
crack
solved.
Just open the coconut with your machete and just be done with it.
I like the straws. Like, I like drinking out of a straw, though. It's good.
Bro, the plastic straws.
Yeah, I'd be fine just drinking from a glass, but my husband's very much like, oh, can I have a straw?
It's so real. Dude, so real. You know what? Like, I won't be shamed for this, bro. It's, drinking out of the straw, it makes my mouth feel good, and I'm going to stand by
I don't
that.
Know about
but
that.
From restaurants, people say that, you know, drinking from the straw makes them feel safer because the glasses they don't feel have been washed correctly.
Oh, okay.
As well.
I don't know about that. All right. I don't know about it's not a hygiene.
All of this discussion is making me thirsty, and I also want to ask our radio friend, are you a paper straw hater or lover? Let us know. 0491-064-669.
Before we get into our quiz question,
Sky's comment.
Dude, this is ominous, bro.
Okay.
Oh, that's like, great. I love it.
Paper straw has more control over a drink than we do.
Whoa, what does she mean by that?
Well, at first I was like, I was asking that same question. I'm like, this is ominous. But producer Shell, you've got a train
well,
of thought.
Well, I think it's just because the straw is
disintegrating?
Disintegrating because of the drink.
Mm. Real.
And so, it's...
like you drink it quickly?
And then we're trying to... We are forced to drink fast because of the straw.
Whoa!
Forced to hydrate. Oh, no.
Wow. No, but if you drink too fast and you get a stitch, like, that's the other side
if
of it.
If it's really cold, like a smoothie or something, and you're like, oh, I have to get through this, like, super quick.
Any doctor will tell you. Any doctor will tell you that the best way to ingest fluids is sipping over time, not taking in big amounts in one.
Well, maybe that's a lesson for me to learn. By the way, if you are really enjoying Lawson's health tips, you will also enjoy the book that he's recommending wholeheartedly today, which is Health and Wellness, Secrets That Will Change Your Life by Mark Finley and Peter Landless. You can get this book for absolutely free. And even if, Lawson, how would you deliver that book now in this straw mode that we're having here?
I'm going to deliver it.
on rocket power, what are they called? Rollerblades. Rollerblades with rockets attached to
it. From Elon Musk?
So Lawson would even jump in his rocket-powered rollerblades if necessary that you can get this book, because we want you, Radio Friend, to be just live your best life, healthier life. If you're struggling with depression, with anxiety, with diabetes, with autoimmune diseases, the tips that are in this book are applied across the board.
Mm.
If you do these tips and you align your body with the design that God has created them for, guaranteed you'll be better off. Guaranteed you'll be better off than you are now. So we want you to be healthier. Why? Because we want you to serve Jesus for longer. We want you to serve your family, to be there for them for longer. We want you to be a blessing in the community. We want you to experience the ultimate happiness that God has for you. So this book is great. 0491-064-669. Just text us with the hashtag wellness, and we will get that book sent out to you. Let's get into our quiz question now. So, producer Shell, what is it, the third question of today's show? Is it a speed test as well, or is it perhaps
always.
Okay. Speed test.
So this is our fill in the blank of the day. We got two different words, two different blanks. Okay? So you have two words to write down.
I like the two-word thing. It makes it more challenging.
Okay. You ready to go?
Okay.
Have not I commanded you? Be blank and of a good blank. Have not I commanded you? Be blank and of a good blank.
Right. I know the.
Yeah, I like this one. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I've got that's it. That's not really.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. Right. Rewrite
tense,
it.
The right tense of that last word, because it wouldn't have been that one. But anyways, you got the right word. You just got the wrong tense. Okay. So the number here is 0491-064-669.
All right.
0491-064-669. Have not I commanded you be blank and of a good blank?
Oh.
Wait. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
I feel like Lindsay's trying to sing it.
No. Okay. I'm a bit blank right now.
Have not I commanded.
She's probably still taken aback by the paper straw comments. That
oh, my.
All right. It's from Joshua, chapter 1.
Yeah, I was thinking I needed a reference for that.
Okay. Sherry sent us a message. She said, hey, I'm with you, Scaffy. Just use our lips for drinking. Old-fashioned, but easy. Blessings to you all. Thank you, Sherry. I think that the whole paper thing came in because people are starting to drink stuff while driving. And they were spilling their drinks all over the place. And that's when someone said, hey, let's just put a lid with a hole and a paper straw.
And drive.
Drinking a lullaby, permissible, non-alcoholic drinks, I'm thinking.
No, but even here in Australia, they did have a crackdown like a couple of years ago with people drinking while driving, just even water.
Yeah. I'm from Queensland, and they've got all those cameras now. Yeah. And like, if you have food or drink in your hands, and the camera catches you,
What? Right. Is that a thing? No way. Yeah. Is that a thing in New South Wales as well?
Oh wow!
I didn't know. I was sinning in my ignorance all these years.
Shocked! I am shocked.
One guy recently went through. I saw this to online. My core. Some guy like got a frying pan. He was like frying something up, and he held it up when
I saw a certain
camera, like just to troll it. He got a fine for some. I don't know why he chose.
But
to
then
do
he got
that,
the Instagram likes
because he had the food in his hands.
But I think it's
driving.
Worked because the campaigns to stop us from doing it have slowed down, and I don't think that they are policing it as much. But it is still in the law book.
Yeah. So I cannot drink a hot tea.
You're not allowed
tea,
to drink anything while you're driving.
Anything.
That's silly.
I get it.
It's better when you have the both hands.
Yeah. If you're trying to.
Okay, I have a question for you though. Okay, something. You answer me since you guys are law heads. Okay, you know everything about the law.
Can
I drive with a Camelback attached to my back and then just drink from that tube? Am I going, because it's technically it's hands free drinking.
I think that would be.
How are you going to put your back back? Aren't you going to squish all the water into your face?
No, you just lean a little bit forward.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah. But yeah, the point is hands. It's a similar thing with like the phone laws here in Australia. It's like if the phone is resting on you.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's the same with food.
The phone thing, I'm 100% behind it. Like, I am I have a beef with people that are touching their phones while driving.
You're against them?
Yeah.
I'm so against them.
I mean, yeah, fair enough.
I'm so against them. I think this is like probably the most dangerous thing you can do in your life. Man, yeah.
Lawson, two things.
From your looks, man, I'm wary of even taking that ride
let's
with
move
you.
On.
Bro, like, this is how you cause accidents.
I'm not going to say that I'm pro touching your phone while driving, like, because I'm not. But I did lose my license for 8 months, and that might have been a part of it. So let's
hopefully you learn your lesson.
We can, absolutely. I still have my license right now, praise the Lord. Simultaneously, first thing, Lindsay and I got the question correctly. Just for those who didn't know, weren't keeping up.
Yes, and all three have gotten the answer correct in the studio, and several correct answers are coming through. Well done, everybody.
That's right. And we also have Liz texting in, no two paper straws. So, like, these people are agreeing.
Good on you, Liz.
But then again, the solution is, is it a plastic straw? We're like, no, I don't want to drink microplastics, you know, aluminium and silicon. They all have their issues, their drawbacks. I'm thinking, well, why don't we just use the perfect material for straws, which is something light, durable, and healthy for you. I'm talking about, of course, a composite of lead and asbestos. I think that would be by far the best.
Did you just say healthy for you?
Well, I'm thinking lightweight and durable, lead and asbestos. Mm. There you go, guys. Wow. So you heard it here first on the Breakfast Show.
No more health tips from Lawson.
This is actually, I have just read.
Follow Lawson for more healthy tips.
I've just read a compliance textbook from the 1940s, and that was the obvious conclusion that I come to. Lead and asbestos, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay, so with all these straw things. By the way, if you had like an iron straws, would that help you with people that have iron deficiency?
Only if it's hot liquids coming through, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that help you at all? Like,
yeah.
Like,
definitely.
But ingesting iron in like fully.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you cook in iron pots, cast iron, it actually helps you to increase your iron levels.
This is why I have cast iron to cook on at home. And it's actually helping.
Yeah, and it's
safe. Real.
Yeah, it is real. This is an actual health tip, Lawson. Yeah,
okay,
that is an actual health tip
because it's like okay, never mind. All right, I believe you and I agree. You're listening to the Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. Should probably do a Bible study.
Okay, we'll do a Bible study because this week we're going to be tackling perhaps one of the number one faith issues for a lot of people. A lot of people, they don't believe in God. Or they stop believing God because they cannot find a satisfactory answer to this question, which is why does a good and all-powerful God allow evil? And to a lot of people, the conclusion is simple. Maybe God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
However, the Bible portrays a much better, I believe, much comprehensive and much more satisfactory picture and answer to that question. And this is what we're going to be studying today and throughout the week here, so you have to stay tuned for that.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
And I'm going to start, Lawson, by saying this. A lot of people imagine that the Bible just ignores this topic.
It's such a good point.
You know, they just don't ask this question. Hey, let's not ask the big question, the E problem, because you know what? We're not going to find an answer. But in reality, this is far from the truth. There's a lot of biblical authors that are not only asking these questions, but they are addressing it directly to God in hopes for answer. And I'm going to be showing you some of these passages because I believe that they are often forgotten about passages when we're discussing the element of evil. So let's start with Job chapter 30, verse 26.
Job chapter 30 and verse 26, the Bible reads, "But when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness."
All right. So who's speaking here, Lawson?
This is Job.
This is Job. Job is speaking here. But if you read the verse before, it's very interesting. Do you have the verse before?
Mm-hmm.
Read it for us, Please, Lindsay.
Yeah, verse 25 says, "Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor?" Oh, this is reminding me of what we were talking about earlier this morning.
Yes, isn't it? Hey. This is compassion. This is mercy.
Chesed.
This is chesed, right? Actually, more specifically, this is elos. Mm. It's elos? Eleos. Yeah, so he's feeling for the suffering of others. Mm. So he's saying, look, I've done all of this. I've been showing mercy.
Yeah.
And when I look towards God to receive mercy myself, I only found evil.
Yeah.
When I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness.
Yeah. Wow.
So Job was experiencing that, saying, God, where is the mercy? I've been merciful to others. Why can I not be the recipient of mercy? Why am I receiving evil and darkness and pain and suffering?
Yeah, and particularly like for Job as well, mercy out of his goodness too. We're not talking about maybe a performative mercy that's like, oh, things are going bad for me, I might do something good, da, da, da. Like, we're talking about his life was in a good place. Mm. He was using his time and talents and opportunities to be merciful to others unprompted. Mm. I think that Job, and the Bible describes Job as like one of the most upright men who lived at the time. And I think for Job here, like, he can genuinely say this. You know, there's no second guessing about, like, oh, but was I actually doing it for selfish reasons or something? Mm. Nah, yeah. This guy was living.
He was legit.
He was legit. Mm. He was living for people. And now he's gone through the worst of it.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's asking the question, hey, why? Why?
And this is the thing. I had this insight, friends, when I was reading the book of Job the other day. And I noticed one thing. All of the participants of the book of Job. So we're talking about Job and his four friends. And they all had one very big deficiency in their theology. Their theology is amazing, by the way, in many, many ways. But they had one big deficiency. And the deficiency is in all of their theologies, the element or the figure of Satan is missing.
Mm. Mm.
So they could not come to a correct understanding or to a complete picture of why evil exists, because they don't realize that there are free agents, namely demons, who are using their freedom of will to either cause or to inspire others to commit acts of evil gratuitously for free. Yeah. And this is what they couldn't understand. Because for them, it's like, look, you have one element is myself, it's you. If you're doing good, most often than not, you're going to be receiving good. Then you have God, and God is rewarding those who are righteous. But then
without that element of Satan and the demons, it comes across as very transactional and works-based in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if you're getting this bad result, it must mean you have done something wrong to deserve it.
That's right. And this was the thesis of all of Job's friends. So Job's friend says, look, Job, there's no escaping God's righteousness. God is righteous. He wouldn't afflict anyone out of the blue just like that. Clearly, you are a big sinner. And it's kind of funny because when you're reading the book of Job, in the beginning, they're kind of saying, Job, are you sure you didn't do something wrong here that maybe that's causing you? And like towards the end of the book, they're friends saying, Job, are we going to be speak plainly? You are a big sinner. You just don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, just like, just admit it. It's going to be less bad for you.
Yeah.
Maybe God can heal you once you admit that you're a big sinner. And Job saying, no, like, I didn't do anything.
It's interesting.
I'm a sinner, but I didn't do anything wrong.
Their deficiency in their theology makes them also deficient as friends.
Yeah. Ooh. Boom. Okay. Should we open this parenthesis here? Because I have a new thing about this passage. Okay.
Yeah.
I always were on that same page. You know, I always heard and I always agreed that, man, Job's friends did a lousy job. But you know what? Now I'm not so harsh. I think I'm a bit more merciful towards Job's friends these days. And I'll tell you what. Why? Number one, they just stayed there quiet for 7 days.
Mm.
They left their affairs, they left their families, they left their businesses. They were sitting just staring at Job for 7 days without saying one word. There has to be a time that they wanted to ask Job, hey, Job, what's going on? And this is the thing. Even though they were wrong, and even though they might have even, God said, like, they have sinned against God and they needed, at the same time, they actually got Job to talk about his thing. And you know what? I think that when we're going through stuff, it is part of the healing to talk about it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to work through it.
So I don't judge his friend so harshly anymore.
Yeah.
Because of that. But let's keep going, because I have other passages where other biblical authors were questioning or interacting with this problem. The next one is also an interesting one. Jeremiah 12, verse 1.
The Bible says, "Righteous are you, Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments."
Okay, just a pause here. Just a pause here. Jeremiah is making an introduction here. What are you getting out of it?
He's definitely putting God in his right place.
Yeah, so God, look, I know that you're righteous. I know that you don't do anything wrong. Okay? Let's take that out of the way. Not blaming you, not pointing the fingers, not accusing you. Yet, hey, can we talk about your judgments?
Can you help me understand?
Yes. Yeah. Can you help me understand, like, why you made certain decisions?
It, but...
Yeah. Okay, keep going. So, what does come after?
Yeah. And this is the big question here. He's like, hey, let's discuss. Why does the way of the wicked prosper?
Mm. Ooh.
Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Mm. Man, isn't this a question? Why do the ways of the wicked prosper? Something I've been reflecting on is that the ways of the wicked don't always prosper. They don't always work. Actually, I was preaching on the wicked. You would know this. This is like finance and business and marketing and finance 101. You know about Enron, Scaffy?
Yes, I do.
Of course. It's like one of the
energy companies that was the biggest financial accountability scam in modern history.
Basically, they cooked the books and they made themselves look like they had no debt when they had massive debt to defraud investors and whatnot. And that, I actually preach about, I use them as an illustration of like pride, ultimately, that they were trying to hide their affairs in order to succeed and hopefully weather out a storm. And out of pride, they were just like, oh, we don't want to admit that we're doing bad. We don't want to take a hit at our share price so that we restructure and maybe we lose our jobs. This is like Jeffrey Skilling and Kenneth Lay. Ultimately, they were dealing wickedly, and eventually it caught up to them after about 15 years or so.
Bernie Madoff is a great example of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bernie Madoff, the guy who ran a pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme.
Oh.
So he had an investment fund. He got like billions and billions, if not trillions.
Yeah, it was massive.
Of dollars. And this is what I think, So, Lindsay, you got married, you put $10,000.
Yeah.
He will, with no failure, give you back like $11,000 the next month.
Okay.
And then the next month, another 10%. And so he had like these returns that were better than anything in the market. And people becoming, oh, you know what? Like I placed in like $10,000. I've gotten like $15,000 back. What if I put $100,000 and you put $100,000 and you get $150,000 back? I said, man, this guy is great. I'm going to put $1,000,000. And before I know it, the $1,000,000 have vanished.
Mm.
And I think he's still in jail. He got caught. He got in jail.
That's right. He's in a decent jail. He's in like a nice, kind of high quality, low security jail. But he's in jail, and ultimately, like, there
is not that I wanted to go there. Like, I mean, the way that you're selling it, Lawson, it's like a Trump hotel or something.
Almost. But the point is that, like, it seems as though it's sometimes wickedness catches up with people, but also, that's not always the case. Like, it seems as though some people get through unscathed. There are, like, we could look at, maybe some dictatorial leaders from countries who, for around the world today, who have, had a long life of stealing money from their country and living it up and passing it on to their successors. Where does that end up?
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we need to get into a quiz answer, a quiz question, and a giveaway. Can we do all of those three right now?
Yes. All right.
I think we can. I think we can manage. We're pretty good at this. All right. Question number three, the answer was strong and courage. Have not I commanded you be strong and of a good courage?
What got me over the line with that answer, I was thinking about it because... My wonderful fiance Shanna, she always, like, every time I see her, she's just like strong and courageous, like seen as, and it's so cute. I'm like, oh, I know this passage. And
so
you're saying that she's singing a scriptural song about that passage? Yeah. Oh, what is this song like?
It's good.
Well, there's a few different ones, because, yeah, that's not one.
Can anyone sing? Because I don't know any. Can someone sing?
Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage.
Wow, I'm going to have a hand of applause here for producer Shao. Here, that was an incredible
performance,
Shao. I didn't know you could sing that well.
Here's another one. Be strong and courageous, the Lord of the ages.
That's the one that Shannon sings.
Something, yeah. I can't
wow,
remember.
Wow, that was a nice one. I never heard any of these ones. I better start, you know, adding them to my playlist.
Yep.
Very good. All right. Speaking of playlists. Okay.
Number four.
Shell, what's the number four? Yeah.
All right. This one you got to put your thinking cap on.
Okay.
Okay.
Tinfoil cap. The on.
Good. In what situations did Paul say he had learned to show contentment?
Oh.
Well done. Scaffy's got it right. No.
Excuse me?
Yours is right.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
So in what situations did Paul say he had learned to show contentment?
I'm going to write all of them, actually.
Oh.
And it's these. It's. I also wrote the right answer, but these are also where he says that he's learned to do this. Okay.
Very good.
0491-064-669 is our number here. In what situations did Paul say he had learned to show contentment?
Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. It's also the number to text in our code word for today, hashtag wellness. If you want health and wellness by Mark Finley and Peter Landless, secrets that will change your life. Yeah. Look, we're not talking about the secret. We're not talking about manifest destiny or anything like
this. No, not like about paper straws, avoiding paper straws or plastic.
We're talking about eating good, you know, becoming of sound mind, putting away anxiety and depression. And
particularly, let me tell you this. If you're struggling with mental health, depression, and anxiety, you're not playing in a level playing field if you're not looking after the other areas of your health first. Because if you're trying to fight mental health, which is a very serious illness, but if you don't allow your body to be at its best that it can be to tackle it, you're already at a disadvantage. So if you want to have a sound mind and a happy, joyful outlook of life, part of it is looking after your health. There's no way you can be positive and happy and have of a sound mind if your body's crying desperately for help.
I remember this one time back during the COVID lockdown years, I was struggling with depression really bad, and I was crying out and I was praying to God, and I had this written, I found my journal the other day, and I saw, God, look after me, help me, and he just responded with, go for a walk. And I was really grumpy about that, but I went for a walk, and I was still kind of grumpy, but I felt a little bit better than I did before. So so glad that I went for a walk.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exercise is so important. There's some research, I don't know if you spoke about that, Lawson. There's some researches that have shown that just going for an exercise is more effective than any drugs that you can take for depression, anxiety, mental health.
Do you know why, though?
Why?
Because when your muscles contract when you go for a walk, it actually produces serotonin in your legs.
There you go.
That's the happy hormone that you need to counteract depression.
So again, if you're not doing that, well, you're not playing a level battlefield here. Mm. So we want to encourage you, and also want to encourage you to send us your date of birth. If you're born in February, you are entitled to get an entry into the Revive Cafe cookbook Verse 8. Actually, you're lucky. If I were you, and if I were born in February, I would send right now, because apparently, Lawson, not many people were born in February. So meaning that the chances of you getting the cookbook are stunningly high, and you can learn to do things such as the Italian polenta smash, which just sound amazing.
Absolutely.
Very good. Let's get into our Bible study here.
So we're reading Jeremiah 12 and verse 1, and the question that he asks here, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal
treacherously. I guess some examples of, you know, we talked about Bernie Madoff and you know, the Enron guys, but, you know, my mind goes, because those guys got caught. But in terms of people who are acting like this, like, you know, why is, like, the president of Equatorial Guinea, his name's Theodore Mbogozo, like, you know, he's like this guy who is very clearly acting in political and financial corruption in his country, and he's, like, incredibly rich, even though the country's really poor as a result of leveraging the country's resources to make himself rich. Oh. Why does this person prosper? Yeah. Why are they allowed to do this?
And this is the thing as well. There's multiple answers to that question. And in that particular case of Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
God will say this, hey, wait a minute, you're asking why calamity has been falling upon your people, but have you looked at their own lives?
Oof.
Aren't these very brothers that you're pleading on behalf of, haven't they not worn you out? Jeremiah, weren't they the very people that were trying to kill you?
Wow.
So in this particular passage, God is saying here, hey, in this case, Israel is getting the oppression of other nations because they have forsaken me.
Mm.
Because they might be speaking with their lips that they worship me, but in reality, they are just conspiring evil. And that's why I withdrew my protection from them. This is a thing about mercy as well. Mercy, they say, one way of saying mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mm. This is one differentiation that people do between mercy and grace. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. And often God protects us from, and many times we fail, we make mistakes, and God just covers it. Just helps us, just protect us. But what happens if that become a habit, that become an addiction, and that mercy from God, which would inspire in us hope and gratitude and so on, we start to become entitled, and we start to say, hey, you know what? If God is bailing me out every time that I make a mistake or a sin, what if I just start sinning on purpose?
Yeah.
And God will just continue to bail me out. Maybe God is going to reward me from sin. And at these stages, God can say, no. I have to let you reap the results of your seeds, the consequences of your actions, because I want you to know that I abhor sin and evil. Mm. And maybe you have to feel in the flesh what it feels like, so that perhaps that will make you smarter and wiser about them. And that's what's happening here in that Jeremiah passage.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not like his grace runs out, but he puts it on pause for a bit so you can really sense the reality of sin. So
And God says, look, and the moment that they repent, they truly, legitimately repent, come back to me, I'll be there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to heal them.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next passage, Lawson. And I actually want to go to, I want to jump, and I want to go to the last passage here of our Bible study guide, Matthew 27:46.
Matthew 27:46, the Bible reads, "And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Mm. So the question that I want to ask you, Lawson, how did Jesus himself felt the reality of evil?
Oh, he felt a complete forsaking and separation from God hanging up on the cross. This is the thing that really stands out to me about Jesus' experience on the cross, is that he was the most innocent who had ever lived. Right. There was nothing that weighed on Jesus' conscience for the things that he did wrong. Yet in this moment, when Jesus is saying this, it's not just him experiencing death on the cross and saying, oh, God has abandoned him because he's allowed him to die on the cross. But rather, in a real sense, he's experiencing a complete abandonment, you could say, in a spiritual sense as well. We're talking about a person who is always connected to God, is always filled with the Spirit, is always, you know, experiencing a peace that surpasses all understanding, is always, like, this is how Jesus was, who Jesus was and how he was living. And all of a sudden, Jesus was guilty for the entire weight of sin and receiving its complete consequences, which was an eternal death, whilst also physically hanging on a cross, which is pretty bad as well.
Yeah.
And as he's going through this experience, someone who's never been disconnected from God now feels a complete separation. He says, I am forsaken of God for the consequence of sin. And he's like,
God, why have you forsaken me? Now people actually have pointed out this is a quote actually from the Old Testament. You know, it's something that David wrote in the Old Testament regarding his experience. Reflecting on something that we're talking about right now is David's experience with evil. And reflecting on that and saying, like, God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer of God in that particular passage, and in the Psalms overall is like, hey, I'm with you, David. Like, I'm with you. I've got your best interests at heart. Jesus actually, though, is experiencing this for real. Mm. He's experiencing like a legitimate and complete abandonment and separation from God, not over the things that he did, which is why we would feel abandonment and separation, but to save us. And it's this
for the things that we did.
For the things that we did,
and,
right?
And he's like carrying trillions of people's lives, sins for their entire lives, not just one person's lifetime of sin, but trillions of people over the course of like 6,000 years.
All of the guilt, all of the pain of past, trillions, present, and future, and trillions of sins, he was just taking that on his shoulders at that moment in time.
That's right. The perfect person being totally
the most innocent, guilty, peace-loving, you know, person. So, and the point, the interesting point is here, because Jesus received all of this evil upon his flesh, that was actually his way of conquering victory over evil. This is why we know, we can be sure that Jesus is, when he died at the cross, he conquered victory over evil and over Satan. And he gives us the hope that one day, and very soon, God will come down to inaugurate his kingdom where no evil will abide anymore.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We're approaching, sadly, Lawson, the end of today's show.
Aww. Sad for you.
Sad for me.
Sad for us.
Okay, I thought you were going to say sad just for me, Lawson. But we have a few things. We have to give away the answer to the quiz question. So Shel was asking, in what circumstances did the Apostle Paul learn how to be content? And the answer was?
All of them.
All of them. In abundance, in lack, in the good times, in the
that's right. Wrong times. He says, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to be abound. I've learned to be hungry and I've learned to be full.
That's right.
In all things, to be content.
That's right. Very good. And contentment is a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting word, because contentment is you were feeling happy, not happy, but you're feeling satisfied with how things are. You're not necessarily desiring anything
above
or below. You're satisfied. Mm. You're good. You're stable. You're at peace. Mm. That's what contentment looks like. It's not euphoric.
I have found in whatsoever state I am.
Yeah, whatsoever. Very good.
Yeah.
This is it, everyone. So we're coming to the end of this show. I was just listening here, looking here, Lawson. Are you a Super Bowl follower?
I don't watch the Super Bowl NFL, during the regular season, but I've like keep my eye on like.
Yeah, apparently scores. Donald Trump was the first president ever to attend a Super Bowl.
Well, is he like before or because the game
during
the game hasn't happened yet, right? It's happening today.
So that would have been his last presidency you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, this one is
hasn't started yet.
It has. It's
so maybe
it's
he
starting
will
in
go.
Two, it's two, it starts.
I don't know.
Hours.
It starts in about an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. Okay, so he will attend it, and I think he's going to be the first president ever to attend. I thought that all the presidents would probably attend them, but as it appears to, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But anyway, interesting.
So he's got the country in enough order and control that he can take that time off.
Yes.
You've got to have work-life balance.
It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Of course, in a big event like that, there's that question of like, oh, hey, you know, like what about, you know, if someone tries to commit an act of violence against him or something?
Security concerns.
But literally at every Super Bowl, they have like 20 snipers hanging off the roof, like ready to go. Like that's, so the Super Bowl is one of the most heavily secured events. Like they have jets ready to scramble if like a terrorist thing happens.
Okay.
Da, 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 da. It's like pretty serious.
And it says here that when last week someone asked him, hey, who do you think is going to win? And he said, look, I don't want to say, but there's a certain quarterback that seems to be a pretty good winner, and they're thinking that it's a reference to the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
which is a very outspoken Christian as well.
Yeah.
He says that all of his success, all of his achievements, they are all credited to God and God alone.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, very interesting
stuff. Hey, listening to The Breakfast Show as well, we have a giveaway, this health and wellness book that we have been talking about, Secrets That Will Change Your Life by Mark Finley and Peter Landless. Look, we want you to claim this today. It's completely free, hashtag wellness. But also, we got a text in on the text line from Wayne. He actually sent us a sermon from Mark Finley. So the author of this particular book, he sent us a link to that sermon, and it's a sermon particularly about depression. The sermon's titled How to Trust God in Life's Toughest Moments by Mark Finley. If you want us to send you that link for that sermon, as maybe if you say, you know, hashtag wellness, send us in that code, but then you're like, oh, I want a little bit of a taste of this before I get this book in, we can send that to you too.
Absolutely.
Well,
just text us with the word link.
Yeah,
and we'll send that one to you.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that John sent us a message. Say, hey, good morning Faith FM family, my birthday is on the 17th of February. So,
ooh,
good
birthday
on you, John.
Yeah.
So a week from today, that's going to be exciting. Thank you so much. We're going to be praying for you, having a special prayer for you as well. And you are automatically now added to our draw to win a Revive Cookbook number 8 by Jeremy Dixon. So do like John, do like Vernon, our two February birthday people from today. And you can get this book and you can learn, for example, to make this Chinese quote unquote egg fried rice with no egg.
That's awesome.
So that'll be amazing. Very good, everyone. This is it. And I hope that you stay tuned. We have more great content coming up for you here on Faith FM. Tomorrow, we will be back with more. Let's see what happens. We're going to have more Bible studies. We're going to have more positively different radio and great news and serious news. And we're going to talk about all of that with you. So in the meantime, do not forget to talk faith, live faith, and act faith.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.